Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
1 o'clock hour, it is here, and we are set to talk about the Browns and the Jets and Kevin Stefanski, and we're going to hear from him. And also, don't forget, at the bottom of the hour, we will do quick predicts. Yes, it is our favorite segment of the week, especially if you're sitting here at 140. It's always going to be your favorite segment because you get to tell us the score of the Browns game coming up on Sunday against the Jets, and you will give us Monday morning's headline, our way of trying to figure out who exactly is going to win and getting the pulse from you to find out who you think the Browns, how the Browns will do. So, and Jeff, your overall feeling is you feel good about the Browns. I feel good about the Browns. I feel good about the scenario. I like the fact that, you know, they had the week off.
We
I like
feel
the
good
fact,
about this game.
Yeah, this game yeah, in go. Particular. Right?
Might need to clarify that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel horrible. Maybe I should be more negative, but I'm not. I there are some things we're going to learn before this season is over. One, it can either one of these guys play quarterback? Because at some point, we are going to see Shador. I can't see them. There's only one way we don't see Shador, and that is if Sanders has, I'm sorry, that is if Gabriel has unbelievable success over the next couple weeks. Like, just jumps off the page, and you're like, wow, I can't believe we were even thinking about another quarterback. Forget about the last name. Okay? That's the only way I think he kind of has the keys to the car for the rest of the season. Can you see another scenario where Shador pops out there?
I don't want to say injury, but we know that's the case, obviously.
But do you think the Browns, sat down and said, look, we're going to give Gabriel X amount of games and we're going to give Sanders X?
No.
I don't see any head coach in the world doing that.
I don't either. It's counterproductive. You know, if Dylan goes out, plays competent quarterback. Okay, if he's competent and the team wins games, let's just say, can I hallucinate?
Sure, go for it.
Let's say they reel off three straight wins. Okay,
yeah,
that might buy him the rest of the season.
I don't disagree. I think you're right, but does he have to win in overwhelming fashion or just
has to make the offense look competent, which it really hasn't this year. If he finds something with Tommy Rees calling plays and Tommy can do something to help Dylan and it looks better, why in the world would you walk away from it just to play another guy?
Here's the only winning scenario that knocks him out is if, you know, he's still only coming up with 7 to 10 points a game and the defense is pick six, scoop and score, or something like that.
But I said the offense looks better, you know, and he plays competent quarterback. And take a look around the league, Andy. There are a lot of teams that have pretty decent records who don't have quarterbacks who are driving the bus, you know? But they all have competent quarterback play.
I want to see both these guys by the end of the season.
I think that's...
And a limited success for Gabriel.
That means things didn't go well, Andy.
No, I don't. I think Gabriel could have limited success and still at some point, Kevin, go, you know, it's not, although you're crushing Gabriel, right? If he is having, if they're winning and you pull him, you will crush his confidence, don't you think?
We had Josh Booty on earlier in the show. Josh's nephew, friend of Dylan's from Oklahoma. And what did he say? Dylan's wondering why, you know, Why'd they draft this other guy?
Since day one. I've been saying it too. Nothing. It's not about, again, I cannot say it loud enough. It's not about Sanders. It's about the fact that they drafted two rookie quarterbacks, and then you're constantly, and you know, everyone knows, if you've spent 30 seconds in Northeast Ohio and talked about the Browns, the most popular player will be the backup quarterback. Gabriel never even had that opportunity. Well, he did for a couple picks, like a round. Yep, well, he was the other guy. He was the young guy they were going to bring in and see, like, eh, they really like him. They're going to develop him. Third rounder, right? They're going to try to develop him. Well, all of a sudden, they went from develop to start because they... I still don't get it. I'm sitting here weeks later. I still don't get it. And the more we get away from it, I hate the fact that Jeff is right, that I would have liked to have seen Pickett. I do. I hate it. I hate it because it took away developmental time for Gabriel if you thought that's what he needed. And it, you know, would have put Sanders even farther. I like, why did they draft two
quarterbacks?
I'm going to put that down at the end of the year. Why did they draft two quarterbacks? Why? Why? You know, why?
I'm sure there's probably an answer, but I'd love to know what it is.
I would too. No,
it's this. Why did you trade Kenny Pickett? Why did you bring him in, trade to get him, and then trade him before you ever put him on the field?
I don't know.
Why? There must be an answer. Maybe they thought he stunk. That could have been the answer.
But he was hurt.
Well, I know. That's part of it.
So why would you have signed him in the first place if you thought he stunk?
Exactly right. Andy, I'm grasping for an answer. You know, maybe they thought, you know, he's okay. We'll get a fifth. Fine. We'll play Joe. That's fine. I can't imagine the plan when they traded for Pickett and signed Flacco was, yeah, we're going to get rid of both of them fast and just have two rookies. That's no plan.
Maybe that's a bad strategy.
That was no plan.
Maybe it was a bad strategy, and now he's
running a baseball team.
Yeah. Maybe his strategies were better suited for baseball.
Can't draft enough pitchers.
Oh, yep. Man. We're standing by for Kevin's press conference. Should happen any moment here, and when it does, we'll kick out to Berea so you can be able to hear all of it, see what he has to say. I'm curious, you know, as they're now a week into this, since he said Tommy Rees is taking over. I do you think he's going to answer questions about Di Podesta? No one else is there to answer him.
You can be sure he's going to be asked.
Well, the reporters say, since we can't ask anyone else, Kevin, no, we realize that you're the one that has to answer.
Well, the organization did send out a statement, but I'm sure Kevin will be asked, and I'm sure he'll say some nice things about Paul and wish him luck, and then we'll move on. And
I guarantee he gets a question. What was Paul's role with the team? Someone's going to ask him.
Jeff Schudel's going to ask.
Well, I think the bigger question is,
Jeff, be the man.
What are they losing by not having Paul Di Podesta here? That's my question. What are they trying to replace?
That's got a negative tone in it.
Well, I'm not trying to be negative, but I mean, what aspect needs to be replaced?
Yeah.
Is that a fair question?
Oh,
and without being negative, I want to know.
That's not a question for Kevin.
Kevin, your chief strategy officer must have offered something as far as football operations is concerned. Is there a way to replace that? How's that? Is that a fair way to ask the question?
It, again, might not be the question for Kevin.
Kevin's missing a little piece of this thing. How do you replace that? That's
maybe, and I doubt it. Maybe Kevin's thrilled he's missing a little piece of this thing.
I don't know. So Kevin's coming up here in a second.
Remember, Kevin didn't answer to Paul.
No.
Andrew Berry didn't answer to Paul.
Well, that's true, too.
And Paul didn't answer to either one of them. They all three answered to the ownership group.
True. What else are we hoping to hear from Kevin today? Injury-wise, what they, you know, if he feels good coming out of the break.
Fannin.
Yeah, that was the question I had yesterday, because they need him. I mean, he's playing pretty well. He would help against the Jets.
I would think so.
Other questions that Kevin may or may not get today in this press conference. I'm just kind of contemplating where he's going with this thing. I just, what is he doing on game day? What does he do on game day now if he's not calling the plays?
Coaches the football team.
Okay, what does that mean? You got one guy running the offense, you got another guy.
You've never seen a situation where the head coach coaches? And
I think it's a pretty empty, boring day for a head coach if they've gone from calling plays to not calling plays.
Well, it might be, Andy, but a lot of guys do that.
Well, and he gets ripped all the time for these 5-second cutaways of, well, if he's calling the offense, who's talking to the defense to make them better? Well, defense has been pretty good. Maybe that's been working out quite well.
Maybe.
I'm still just wondering the big picture of the franchise, too, right now, because you hit the bye week, you change play callers.
Gentlemen, we now go live to Berea for Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski.
Okay, beautiful day out there. Got to work in the elements, which was good. Might have some rain on Sunday, so I think it's always a great opportunity to get in the elements that you may face in a given week. So the guys did a nice job with that. We have to play our best, like we talked about. Got to play our best on the road to get our first road win. So that's where our focus is. Still have some more work to do going into the weekend and then get ready to go on Sunday. But with that, I'll take any questions.
How optimistic are you that I mean, just from what you've seen out of him, that he'd be able to play on Sunday?
Yeah, I think, you know, take these things by the hour, if you will, but he's working very hard.
Do you still expect him to be ready to go?
I do.
It looks like Shador came through your last couple of practices. Okay, will he be your number two?
He will be the number two, yes.
Injury pop up, and what's the status on
that? Yeah, popped up, I guess, was that Wednesday? Didn't practice yesterday, limited today. Very similar, you know, see how it does over the next 48.
Cedric, is that the move you make tomorrow to get him off?
Correct, yes.
Did you consider practicing inside today, or were you always?
Yes, considered it, but you know, I think it's a great opportunity to practice in the weather. You know, if it was going to be a beautiful day on Sunday, I think you could go inside, similar to what we did a couple weeks ago when we were playing New England, because it was going to be a nice day. But knowing that we may have to deal with rain, I think it's a great opportunity to get out there and deal with the rain.
Having said back, and if Harold can play, does this give you guys some size that kind of has been missing a little bit?
Well, I think with said, you know, he's been in that role for us, Mary Kay, over the years, is a very willing and productive blocker in the run game. And then he's a big target in the pass game and has made big plays for us. So obviously it's a good thing having said back out there. He's a guy that we really trust, a quarterback trusts. So good to have him out there.
A lot of factors that go into it, but the defensive numbers haven't been as good away from home as they have been at home. Do you see anything there?
You know, we want to play our best, whether we're at home or on the road. Obviously, I know the splits of what they are, and you can, each game kind of tells its own story. But the way we play is the way we play. It doesn't change home or away.
Jets have done on the ground this season, and Breece Hall and Justin Fields, if he's their starter, like, How important is that linebacker group, whether it's Carson or Mahmood or Jerome, whoever's in there?
I think it's really important, Ashley, that, like you mentioned, you could name every player on the defense. With this rush attack, it's not just one position that you're leaning on. Our defensive line has to do its job, has to be sound in our gap integrity. Obviously, like you mentioned, the linebackers, DBs have to tackle. This is a very, very good rush team. And you mentioned Breece Hall's outstanding. He's speed, vision, catch it out of the backfield, hand it to him. Every run scheme, he's adept at them. And then you add in a quarterback run element to it. I mean, it's a really, really good run attack.
Part of the Jets' run defense has kind of struggled a little bit. How can you guys use that and Quinshon in that role specifically to get the offense going?
Yeah, I think very highly of Coach Glenn and Steve Wilks and what they do defensively, what they do schematically. I think they have guys that can really run, which makes it tough in the run game. You just watch their tape. They have guys that are flying the football. So it's a huge challenge. Obviously, putting our game plan together, trying to make sure that we're putting our guys in spots that they're comfortable and that's in the run and the pass. But it's going to be quite the challenge.
You know, Paul came to us to go into the Rockies, and he was someone that wanting to bring you to Cleveland to coach this team. Just, you know, what's that loss mean to you and also, you know, the organization and how much of what he did here over 9.5 years, you know, do you hope to carry forward and
Well, I'm excited for Paul. I'm excited for him and the challenge. And I think he's you know, no one has the experience that he has in that sport or, you know, across sports and the diversity of what he's done in his career. So, I'm very, very happy for him and excited for him and excited for Karen and his entire family. I think it's an awesome opportunity. Paul's obviously somebody that I'm very close to personally, professionally. He's somebody that I've leaned on over the years. But, yeah, we'll miss him, because of our relationships. But very excited for him in this new endeavor.
Looking forward to what Tommy's going to bring to the table with this game plan.
Yeah, we've worked all week, Mary Kay, to make sure that putting a game plan together where our guys can go execute at a high level and play fast and those type of things. So Tommy's done a nice job throughout this week. Like I've told you guys before that he's done this, I know he hasn't done the NFL, but there's not much of a difference other than pressing a button. So he's more than capable. I think he understands this team, these players, and it also, he's made, knows this and our team knows this. It's not about one person. We all have to do our job on Sunday.
And called Tommy a football savant and really praised his football knowledge. And, even him calling plays at, I think, 27, like, could you have imagined calling plays at 27 for the programs he did? And what does that maybe say about him?
Yeah, part of the reason I first got to know Tommy was he came out here when he was at Notre Dame and we just spent a day together talking ball and gosh, we talked about all sorts of football and scheme and those type of things, and so he's somebody that's grown up around this game with his dad. Obviously played the game at a high level and collegiately has had really great experiences in his coaching stops already. So I just think we're all a product of our environments, obviously, but I think the environments that he's been in have set him up really well.
Stories about being a young play caller getting chewed out by the head coach.
Not Coach Zim. I do remember the first game I called. I think we were playing, it was late in the season, we were playing Miami, and one of the things you're thinking about is literally, and I've just mentioned it, but it's literally just the idea of pressing that button, because you'd never done it before. So I remember in pregame putting the headset on and I remember thinking to myself, if I can't figure this out, we got big problems. So Tommy will be just fine.
I asked Tommy yesterday about when he knew or when as a up-and-coming play caller, when you're ready for that role.
Yeah.
He couldn't give, the coaching perspective on, when you make that decision to give somebody that job, but what can you say about, being ready from your personal experience and then also when you know a coach is ready for that?
Yeah, I think it's the classic you don't know until you're out there. And truly, again, I think it's certainly it's a science, it's an art form, it's all those things, but we have a ton of coaches that are capable of doing this and have done it. Coach O'Shea's called plays before. Bill Musgrave's called plays before. So that's the nice part where we as coaches can lean on the people that have done it before us. But, if you've played Madden, you've called plays.
Did you see anything different from Tommy this week in terms of just preparation?
No. Yeah.
Idea that he will call them from above with that vantage point up there?
I've never called it from up top. I've been in the booth before as a coach. It is a great vantage point. It's very strange sometimes how sterile it is and you don't hear the crowd as much and that type of thing, but it can, people have done it both ways. Mary Kay, I was with Norv for those years. Norv was up in the booth always calling it, so except I guess when he was on the sideline as a head coach, but guys have different feel for where they want to be, but it's most important in what the play caller is comfortable with.
You mentioned yesterday that before the Patriots game, Miles took every snap in practice because he felt that was important. Did that stand out to you, and what does it say about Miles that he wanted to do that?
Well, obviously, as with Miles as a leader of this football team, you notice everything he does. So when he's in there with every play, certainly that's noticeable by his teammates, by his coaches. And I think he's got the mindset that he's going to do whatever it takes to impact the football game. And I think there's ways to lead, like we've talked about over the years. Sometimes it comes via your words. Sometimes it comes via your actions.
How does it impact you that Aaron Glenn hasn't named his starting quarterback yet?
Again, we know both these quarterbacks, they're different, but they're both very, very good players, dangerous players. You have to understand how they play because they're different, but we could see both of them, in the game. So you have to be prepared for both guys really regardless.
You're not expecting a certain quarterback over the other.
Are you?
I mean, I'm expecting, you know, probably Justin Fields. But
yeah, we'll see. Yeah, tune in.
With a guy like that has different forms of leadership, I know it's your job to push the guys on the field too, but do you feel kind of an appreciation for the way that Miles pushes his teammates and maybe coaches in that capacity too?
Yeah, I think it's, again, I think there's the biggest key in leadership is authenticity. And you just have to be yourself. And I think that's what all the good leaders I've been around try to do on a daily basis. And then that authenticity, I think people believe in that and then they respond to that. I think the biggest thing, and we've talked about this before, is if you try to be something you're not, players see right through that. So I never try to be something that's not me. And I think that's a big key in the case of leadership for any players. I've been around great leaders that don't say a word, been around great leaders that give amazing pregame speeches. There's so many different types and forms and how that manifests itself in a football team.
Good.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, there you have it. Kevin Stefanski's press conference. We'll talk about it on the other side of a 2020.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Basket of Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. If you want to get in line now. It's coming up in about 11 minutes, maybe a little bit more than that. We'll do quick predicts. At 216-474-0092, 216-474-0092, you're going to give us the score of the Browns-Jets game. Then you will give us Monday morning's headline. Please do not make me disqualify you for giving a backward score. And you know exactly what that is. That's if you're going to say...
what you do now, huh?
Oh, I try. Oh, you get DQ'd. You're done. You're out. You don't count. Doesn't matter how good you are. And most times I'll give you a second to correct yourself if you... if you do get, like, that's your rule. You're the one that, I mean, it's always been my rule, but.
Sportscasting 101.
It's sports etiquette 101, right? Bigger score first. So make sure you say, the Browns win. And if you say something like, you know, 11 to 14, you run. You're out. I don't know, 11's a tough number to get to. But we'll do that coming up in just a few moments. Again, 216-474-0092. Or on social media, on the X, at CLE Talking Heads. You just heard Kevin Stefanski's press conference. Jeff, I'll give you my takeaways. You tell me what your takeaways are. Shedeur Sanders is the number two quarterback. He is happy for Paul D. Podesta. Isaiah Bond's got a foot issue he's dealing with. I don't know if that was part of the pre-release.
And is out.
And he's out.
So much for that theory of... hey, Tommy Rees back to him with Isaiah Bond.
You got a lot of guys questionable for Sunday's game, including Carson Schlesinger.
And Tillman.
They think that Tillman's coming back this week.
Yeah.
He sounded like he was trending in the right direction.
Trending.
Help me. I thought it was interesting. You know, it was a little unusual, and Dan, back me up on this. I thought the story he told about, you know, that first time you're a play caller, and, you know, how he was worried about pushing the button. Like, that was a personable side of Kevin Stefanski that we normally get only in one-on-one interviews. Today, in a press conference setting, he was. Do you agree with me? I thought that was actually a really good story.
Trending appropriately?
Probably, yes.
Mm-hmm. No, it was. It was nice to see, because you're right. That's something you get one-on-one with Kevin Stefanski. That was where he broke the mold of, I got to get this done.
It made me feel like Kevin's taking a big sigh of relief going towards the end of the season here.
Oh, I don't know if I go that far.
I'm telling you, man, he sounded relaxed today.
That's
compared to where he was a week ago.
We're 2-6, and we're playing the Jets, and if I lose, I'm probably done. I'm really relaxed.
Telling you.
I need more evidence before I jump into that pool with you.
I've heard him much crankier. He did sound like he was in a good mood.
Kevin's not cranky. Kevin's just business.
He gives you quick answers when he's not in a good mood.
It's just business.
He's politely annoyed. That's the way I would describe every Kevin Stefanski press conference, politely annoyed.
Let's go to Dan Menigan.
That's not Kevin.
Dan, question for Kevin.
What, am I going to talk to myself? Because trust me, that's ugly.
Just saying. I think he sounded relaxed today. I feel like by not calling plays, he's had a tremendous weight lifted from his shoulders.
Do you?
He can sit back, relax, and kind of see everything that's going on. If it works, it works. Like, even the, I thought it was fascinating, just, you know, if you were an offensive coordinator, as he brought that up, would you rather call the plays from the field or from the booth? I don't think there's any question. I personally would rather call plays from the booth. Not that that matters.
So would I.
I just think you're in a much more controlled environment, and I think you get a much better feel for what's actually going on in the field. I get, like, when I, even when I watch games side, I don't even like to watch games on the sidelines because I have no feel. Everything just looks so big, and it just doesn't. You're like, oh, okay, it's a totally different game. Yeah,
old stadium. We used to be able to go out on the roof and watch games.
Yeah, no, I remember.
And you know, I'm nobody's offensive coordinator. I remember standing on the roof, and
it was a little hairy up there too. By the way,
it was a little concerning, but we were allowed to go out there, and so you did. And I just remember one game in particular, one play. They come out of the, you know, they come out of the huddle, they line up, and I said to whoever I was with, I said, "Look at all the space. Ozzie's going to be wide open about 15 yards downfield. You can see it before it ever even happens." And so if I'm an offensive and they threw it to Ozzie and he was wide open exactly where I thought he would be when they came out of the huddle.
Hmm.
If I can do that, imagine what an offensive coordinator can do from above. So I'm with you. I would definitely watch from above and call plays.
I think it'd be difficult to call plays from the field.
You can't see where, you know.
I mean, I know they're constantly looking at pictures and printing out pictures on there, but that doesn't. You have to do that after the drive.
But if a coach likes doing that, then that's up to the coach.
Mm. All right, you know what we're doing next. Your chance to tell us what's going to happen on Sunday. The door is open. The phone lines are open, I should say. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Tell us the score of the game on Sunday, Browns, Jets, and give us Monday's headline. Quick Predicts is there for you when we return. Basket of Phelps, 90 turn. Basket.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.